This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. La Crosse County is hosting an expo next week for veterans and their families to learn more about the resources available to them. Covering topics like education, housing, social security, and end-of-life planning, the expo offers information for veterans at many different stages of life. But recent political conversations regarding the VA health system and county veterans' resources have some Wisconsin vets concerned about future access to their benefits. Joining us today to talk about benefits available to veterans and their families are Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer, Veteran Jose Leon, and Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran. So, Jose, would you mind starting out by telling us a little bit about your time in the service?
I enlisted in 1982, enlisted in the Marine Corps. I served 10 years in the Marine Corps, did three or four West Pacific tours. I served in New Orleans, in Hawaii, in California. I got out of Marine Corps. I worked for the University of Hawaii for a few years, and then I enlisted in the Army National Guard. I did part-time, or what they call M-Day, for about 3 years, and then I went full-time. From Hawaii, I transferred here to Wisconsin, and I completed my career in 2006, and I retired in 2006 as Sergeant First Class.
And what was that experience like? I mean, did you enjoy being in the armed services?
You know, I enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed retirement more than any part of my career. It's not all roses, but the great experiences. I mean, as a young man, I was able to travel to so many places and see so many things that my peers could only dream of. The pay was good. The benefits are good, you know, but it takes a certain kind of someone. It's not all a rose gardens. I mean, there are some days where your tasks are so much that you think, why did I take this job? So mostly all good, but again, not all a bed of roses.
And Shirley, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about what you know of your husband's experience in the armed services.
My husband Irv was in the Air Force, but he worked mostly with the Army. And he was a ground radio communication person. I know he repaired radios, and he did a lot with the communications. He never talked much about the service. He was a Vietnam vet. The records did not even show him that he had been in Vietnam. So it was kind of sketchy. He just never talked about it. One of the things that he did tell me, we had different gatherings with people that were also Vietnam vets, and a couple of the guys would talk about it a lot. And Irv would always say to me, he said, Shirley, he said, I want you to remember that the people that don't talk about it had it just as bad as the guys that did.
And what has your experience been as a spouse of someone who served in the military?
There were a lot of challenges along the way. He didn't talk about it much, so it was hard to, when I knew he was having problems with things, he just wouldn't communicate that part of it. But we had a good life together, and he passed away about 2.5 years ago.
And Adam, so, you know, Shirley and Jose represent two different experiences, mm-hmm. obviously, with the armed services. And why do stories and experiences like theirs, why does that make offering benefits to veterans and their family members important?
Each person walks a different style through life, and the service members encounter different experiences. And through that, the VA offers compensation in some degrees. They'll offer health care, education. Jose had 24 years approximately in service, and so what he's entitled to can very much differ from what somebody who was in for 4 years, you know, somebody who only made it through boot camp, and only his story can be provided to the VA to allow him to receive the benefits that he is eligible for. In Shirley's case, you know, her husband has passed away. Those benefits that could have been extended to him typically stop at the time of death, except for in some cases there are moments that we can actually apply for benefits for the spouses. And so we have to go back through the lives of these veterans and find out what took place for them and then what can be offered to either them, their spouse, or their dependents. And so it's very unique on what every veteran would be eligible for. And not all veterans are entitled to everything that another veteran might be eligible for.
Mm-hmm. And so this expo that is happening here in La Crosse next week, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of different topics covered. I mentioned a few of them. What are you kind of hoping to capture at this expo?
The expo is really one of the largest events. It's our first year doing it. And what we're really trying to do is remove distance from the veterans, spouses, or dependents who attend. We're really trying to bring all these organizations to one table in one room so that a veteran, the spouse, or a dependent can ask one question, and it might lead to a roadblock because the vendor might not know it, but the table next to them is the next vendor that they just need to simply see. We'll have TOMA VA there. You know, a lot of veterans receive benefits, resource, health care through the TOMA VA. And even within that VA, the departments are even just branched out. So we're trying to bring the connectivity of the regions together from a state, local, federal, nonprofit, for-profit, private employers so that veterans can feel welcomed and they can receive all the education and information that they need in one day rather than spreading it out and making several appointments.
Mm-hmm. So ease of access is definitely a factor.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and unfortunately, we have a lot of veterans who are in nursing homes. They're not able to make it. And one of the hardest things for us to do is to educate the spouse or dependent of that veteran because it doesn't necessarily apply to them at this time. But we can't always make it out to those veterans either. So our hope with this is really to reach out to those who can go in the veteran's stead and come down and learn a little bit more of what the veteran might be eligible for so that they can then turn around, educate the veteran, and or start getting the paperwork together for the veteran to apply. So it really is an ease and convenience, absolutely.
And do you think that you mentioned education and just kind of, you know, making people aware of services. Do you think that there is maybe an issue or just, you know, problems sometimes of veterans and their family members not knowing what's available to them?
Absolutely. You know, we are a county office. We are free to access. We don't charge for any of the work that we do. The education, unfortunately, comes to the veteran when it's too dire. All of a sudden they received a bill and it's going to collections. Rather than having them seek the information up front or in a convenient time, now all of a sudden it's coming to a deadline and we really need to make a move on it quickly. And what I'm hoping to do is with the expo, provide the information up front so they know where to seek the information well before the point it becomes a dire need and it could become a life-changing aspect. Let's get that information out there to them.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about veterans benefits in Wisconsin in advance of a major expo happening next week in La Crosse. We're here with Jose Leon, veteran of the Army and the Marines, Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran of the Air Force, and La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer Adam Flood. And so, Jose, do you feel like sometimes, you know, we've been talking about veterans not being aware of all the benefits that are available to them. Have you had that experience or known veterans that, you know, maybe didn't know about certain benefits or programs that they could access for help?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a career service member who served in two branches of service, many theaters of operations, a combat veteran, and you would think that I would know a little bit about what's going on in the veteran community. But the fact is we don't. The County Veteran Service Officer here in La Crosse helped me to gain access to benefits and some assistance that I had no idea that I qualified for. Some of my young veteran friends, they're unaware. That's why these expos, to me personally, are very important. You'll find veterans who say, well, I don't need to go to that expo because I've already filed my application. I got my benefit. I've got everything I need. I already know what I can get. And that's just not true. I'll give you one small example. Just recently, I found out, and this is very recent, 2 months ago, that if I was below a certain amount of service-connected disability, I paid it an $8 copay for my medication. But if I was past a threshold, I don't pay anything for my medication. I didn't know that. And I've been on benefits since 2006. So when you think you know it all, expos like this will show you that you don't know it all.
It's a very common thing that Jose is saying. And one of the bigger things that we're learning is it's a time and a need thing. A veteran who just gets out of the service, their focus is, let's get my education benefits and I'll move on. Well, healthcare is not as important. They're young, they're healthy, and we might not see them until they start becoming a little bit older and start having ailments. Burial benefits. Why would anyone at 20, 25 start thinking about burial? They've got a long life ahead of them, not realizing a car accident could be around the corner. And so the aim really is to try and educate a veteran when they walk through our office on all of these benefits, regardless of time. And normally I inform a veteran, if you're not checking in on benefits every 5 years, you've probably missed some because your life has changed. And therefore the VA and other programs can interact with your life at different stages. And you need to be in the forefront of knowing that.
And I think another, you know, point in this conversation is that many of the veteran benefits that I can think of, you know, education and the GI Bill and opportunities through that, you know, they don't necessarily come for a veteran who is in a dire situation or in a mm-hmm. need. And so, you know, how is accessing those benefits different?
That one's more of just an education and a need. You do mention that it's not as a dire need typically, but unfortunately, it is. A veteran lost their job, and now they need to re-educate themselves. And so, you know, we have the post-9/11 GI Bill that is known today at a federal level, but a lot of veterans here in Wisconsin don't know about the Wisconsin GI Bill. The post-9/11 permits you to go to school for 4 years, up to 15 years after your last date of service. Well, the Wisconsin GI Bill has no factor of limiting time. Somebody who's well into their 70s, if they so chose to go back under the Wisconsin GI Bill, they certainly can. Other veterans don't understand that once they become service-connected with a disability, could apply for another federal education known as vocational rehabilitation, and they could, in essence, get some of the benefits from post-9/11 with a few different tweaks to it. But that's available to them at the time that they become service-connected. And so different points of what they apply for apply to different avenues that they're now eligible for. Some of them, you're right, the education most veterans really know from the point of getting out of service because they've been paying into the post-9/11, that they're eligible for it. What they don't know is that there's other programs that might be available to them. So how do we reach out to them? And really it takes our office doing outreach to different universities and talking to some of the students, asking, do you know what you're completely eligible for, even though you might not be needing it or utilizing it at this time?
And surely, you know, as a family member of a veteran, I'm sure your experience is also a little different. You know, maybe sometimes not being present at conversations, you know, about what's available. Do you think that there are issues with knowing all of the benefits that are available to family members of veterans?
Oh, most definitely. My husband had Parkinson's, and if it wouldn't have been for my niece who works at the veterans office, we wouldn't have not known that Parkinson's is a service-related disease.
Parkinson's, along with 15 other items, are identified through the VA as being a presumptive cause by Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam and Thailand and a few other countries, and that's what Irv ended up having been exposed to, which led to the Parkinson's. And that one happened decades after he had been there, but it's one of those things, if you don't stay on the ball of what you could be eligible for, what has changed within the VA, they wouldn't have known. And fortunately, Julie, who works in our office, is the niece of Shirley, and it was just in passing that they had a conversation.
Correct.
And she directed her in, or really Irv into our office.
Correct. Yes.
So people who aren't as lucky as you to have those connections maybe don't have that access to information.
Most definitely. That's why I would think that this expo would be an excellent source of reference source for a lot of people.
And so let's talk about kind of the veterans community in this area, you know, because like I mentioned in our intro, you know, the expo kind of offers different services for different stages of life. And, you know, what is the veterans community like here?
It's very interesting. We approximately have about 10,000 veterans in La Crosse County. Unfortunately, those numbers change daily, and they're projected to decrease over the next decade due to the aspect of World War II, Korea, and passing away. And unfortunately, Vietnam's passing away even earlier due to exposure to Agent Orange and other diseases that they've been contracting. So you have the schools here, which consist of quite a few hundreds of veterans. Then you have those who have come back to the working career. Then you have the aging population. So it's a unique county in that regard, where if you went to other counties, they don't have the span of range of ages, really, that La Crosse County does. And really, a lot of that has to do with probably the schools. And then La Crosse actually is a very nice town. Can't talk enough about, I guess, La Crosse and La Crosse community, where we get a lot of transient veterans. They come to La Crosse and they choose to live here and participate within the community again. And it just helps our veteran population stay strong and keeps probably our veteran organizations also stronger than other outlying communities and counties.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the most accessed resource for veterans in this community?
That one's a difficult question. We see a lot of veterans for education because as they're getting out of service, they're there. But thinking about it, I would almost have to say the healthcare. We only have to deal with them once typically to get them enrolled into the VA healthcare, and then they're in it. But we don't see them as regularly. Somebody who applied back in 1950 would still be enrolled in today, but we wouldn't really necessarily see them walk through our office. They would only see them in Toma or the outlying clinic here in La Crosse. So it probably would come down to those two, but then, you know, filing for service-connected disabilities would be up there. Filing for pensions or burial benefits, unfortunately, it would also be up there. That one's a hard one to really quantify.
And Jose, I don't know how connected you are to the veterans community, but you mentioned that you know other veterans in this area. What do you think is the greatest need here?
Both Adam and I are part of the VFW here in La Crosse, VFW Post 1530, so we're connected to the veteran community. As far as the need, it depends on what the situation of the veteran is. The one thing that I appreciated about Adam's office was I've been in federal government since I was 17 years old till present date. I'm still working for the federal government. And the forms and the bureaucracy can be overwhelming sometimes. If had it not been for his office with their experience to say, this is what you can do and we can do it for you, it would have been very difficult for me. So when I see my fellow veterans in the veteran community, when I see them at the VFW post, when I see them wherever I see them, I always refer them to his office because I know that he can help. So I think the veteran climate in La Crosse is very strong. We have a lot of veterans who are really proud of their service, and we have a good county veterans service office that can be able to help us.
Do you think this expo might also promote that community, that sense of community among veterans? You know, I can imagine bringing, you know, so many veterans and so many family members of veterans who have all share a similar experience or, you know, something that unifies them. Do you think that will kind of promote community among that?
I think so. I think this expo, like many other outreach programs are very important to veterans. Sometimes you get a veteran who couldn't make it to one event, but they can make it to another. I think social media was very important. I know I'm on Facebook, so as soon as I saw it, I shared it with all of my friends. And a lot of people that I've known won't share it with someone because that person's not a veteran. But we have here one of our fellow panelists. She's not a veteran, but her husband was a veteran. So if I share it with her, she may be aware of. So I say it, share it with everybody. Share it with everybody. And I think that the expo is going to be a great way to have good outreach and inform and educate our veterans.
And Shirley, I don't know if you are connected with other family members of veterans, but is community for you or for other people in similar positions important?
I think it's important. I haven't been involved in the veterans community very much. I've been a member of the VFW for a long time because of my dad, actually. I personally haven't been involved. I have a really good friend and family support system, and that's who I rely on for my, you know, comfort.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about veterans benefits in Wisconsin in advance of a major expo happening next week in La Crosse. Joining us today is Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer, veteran Jose Leon, and Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran. Adam, is this expo a sort of a yearly thing that happens in La Crosse? You know, what's kind of the history with it?
There is no history. That's the question that we'll be looking at for next year. This is our first one.
Okay.
And so we're trying to find out, you know, what kind of success is it? You know, really my hope is that we do this so well that veterans don't need it for another 2 to 3 years. But to say that is to take away the aspect that we have new veterans who come here every year or their lives change, that that we need to educate them every year, or that to get out in front of the community to say that here are these organizations who are there to help support veterans. Because I'm finding myself that as I do this, I'm finding vendors who I did not know supported veterans in some ways, and yet they reach out to me and explain that, which is a great resource for when I need to refer veterans in the future. So I don't know what the future of this is. If it's a great success, we will certainly look to have it again in the future. We will be doing exit surveys to find that out. What did the veterans, the spouses, and the dependents enjoy about it? What did we not do well? What could we do better? So I think it's going to be more of a reactive state of, do we do this again in the future?
You know, what you mentioned different vendors, you know, joining the conversation. Are they all mainly, you know, government programs, or are there some, you know, nonprofit?
No, certainly we have the gambit of them. We have the nonprofits, you know, the veteran organizations, the VFWs, the American Legions. We have the for-profit. I mean, we certainly have our sponsors, and all of the sponsors will have a booth there. And I can't say enough about the community support with all those sponsors who are able to even make this feasible for us. We will have the federal, Social Security will be there, because the benefits that the veterans receive do affect other agencies. Social Security could be one of them, or they can apply for other benefits because of a service-connected disability through Social Security. Then that we have the federal VA. We have state programs coming up, because as I mentioned, the education's out there. That's handled by Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, so we're bringing in some people to answer about that. But they also handled the state cemeteries here, and also the state veterans nursing homes. And these are programs that more of the cemetery and the nursing home that we're not as familiar with, because they're not very close to La Crosse. On average, they're about 2 hours away. So rather than us speaking on it, we thought we'd bring in more of the expert. So absolutely, there is a wide variety. Some of them we'll be offering services there. I think we were able to get a chiropractic clinic who will do adjustments. We were trying to work on somebody for denture adjustments. You know, a lot of organizations came out of the woodworks to help us make this happen, and I can't say enough for the community. We talk, in one regard, of veterans community and the veterans supporting one another, but you really find that, you know, other people in the community had a loved one who was a veteran, and before that, they hold a special place in their heart, and they will do special benefits for veterans. And those are really the organizations that we're finding coming out in great support.
Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer, is here with us today to talk about opportunities for veterans and their families to access state and federal benefit programs. Also joining us today is Jose Leon, a veteran here in La Crosse County, and Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran of the Air Force. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on veterans' benefits and talk about recent political conversations and how they might affect these programs. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more information on next week's Veterans Expo here in La Crosse. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about an upcoming Veterans Expo in La Crosse. Vets and their families can learn how to access different state and federal benefits programs for housing, mental health care, employment, long-term care, and more. But recent conversations about the VA health system and county veteran services could affect the variety of benefit programs available. Joining us are Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veterans Service Officer, veteran Jose Leon, and Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran. And so, Adam, let's talk a little bit about some of the different ways that we're hearing about veterans' benefits in the news. With a lot of the issues that have come up at the Tome of VA and in the larger VA system in the last few years, and then also recent state legislation or proposed legislation rather regarding county services for veterans. Do you think those conversations affect the benefits that are offered for veterans, or might have an effect on them?
Absolutely. When the legislation, we'll start with that one before we get to the healthcare. When the legislation was proposed, it could have had significant impact on veterans throughout the state of Wisconsin, because they would have been removing our office from a local level in every county. And there are 72 counties, and it is state mandated that my position as a CVSO be in each county. So the legislation was potentially proposing to go to more of a regional. And there was a lot of discussion about it. And, the legislation thought that based on what they were hearing from veterans, from spouses, dependents, or whomever were contacting them in regard to the legislation, that they thought maybe they should put it on hold for a little bit and do a little bit further look into it. And so it could have had significant impact. To what degree, I really don't know, because it would have determined off of how far they were wanting to make some of that discussion on where they went with it. But what I can just say is, at this time, it's not going to have any impact on it, because they've put it on hold. I do hear that they will be re-looking at it. So I don't think this is something that will go away. I think it will be modified, and I'm sure that it'll come back in the next session at the state of what kind of law or bills they want to pass in regard to just veteran benefits as a whole. Some of them might have been negative, some of them might have been positive, but I'm hoping that they have a task force put together to really evaluate it for the sake of the veterans. With the healthcare, unfortunately, TOMA's taken a really bad rap lately, but it's not the experience I get. A lot of veterans who come through the doors really don't have those experiences. They actually appreciate the services I get through TOMA. And speaking with TOMA, we do a biannual review with TOMA, and they themselves are learning from this, and they actually are starting to pave the way and making changes for the VA healthcare by some of the policies that they're implementing. It's my understanding that it's going up to Washington, D.C., and other VAs are looking at it, more than likely for the better of those VAs to provide services to veterans. So unfortunately, there might have been a stumbling block, but in the long run, hopefully the VA and healthcare can learn from everything, and maybe it's not as bad. I can't say that the incidents weren't bad and horrific. They certainly were in that light, but hopefully some good can come of it.
And so I guess my question for you is, are you concerned that talking about veterans benefits in this light, you know, might be a negative impact on the future of these kinds of programs? Or do you think that there's enough support for them that it's not really a concern?
I think there's enough support, and if I understand your question, you're asking more about the legislation?
More of just public opinion, I guess is kind of what I'm getting at.
I guess really what it did on these two incidents is it really brought veterans together. You know, it forced veterans who were receiving care or receiving benefits to come out of the woodworks and go, you know, here's how it has helped me, and either they had, if they spoke negatively of what's going on or positively, what it did is it started getting veterans' voices out there that might have stayed idle otherwise. And without that, we might not have had some of these changes. So I think there is a benefit to what's currently being looked at, just to have veterans come out and really share their experiences and everything so that lawmakers or policymakers within the VA actually have an understanding of where veterans stand with everything.
And Jose, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Well, I think that the scary possibility of losing our county veterans, our invaluable county veteran service officers, would be devastating. As I said earlier, without the expertise of Adam's office, I wouldn't have gotten benefits that I didn't even know that I was eligible to get. So that's a scary thought for me, and I hope that the people of Wisconsin really think about that when they vote, you know, or legislators when they vote, rather. As far as the TOMA VA goes, I've been going to the TOMA VA since 2006, so what's that, 16 years. And from then till present date, I have not had any problems at all with the TOMA VA. My experience has been that they've provided top-notch quality service for myself and a few of my peers that, I mean, also have had the same experience, so I'm not alone. Am I saddened that some, you know, some minor incidents have happened at TOMA VA? Of course. Could they be isolated? I don't know. But my experience is that it's been very, very good. I'll give you a short example. A few years ago, I had a very bad motorcycle accident. I had some surgeries done at Gunderson. They needed some digital imaging from TOMA. The TOMA and Gunderson communicated so well that for minimal costs, they were able to save me money on the Gunderson side by providing the digital images of the MRI that TOMA already had on CD. Why reinvent the wheel, you know? And so I was very grateful for TOMA for doing that because it saved time, it saved money, and another visit to the doctor. That's the kind of service that I've experienced personally at the TOMA VA.
And Shirley, I'm not sure if you have thoughts on just some of the conversations that have been coming up around veterans' benefits.
Well, I think it's really important that this VA office stays here in La Crosse County. Again, I agree with Jose. They've been invaluable to me. I would not have received any benefits had it not been for their office. And because of Irv's records not reflecting that he had been in Vietnam, we had a long road to get to achieve getting benefits. But again, if it hadn't been for his office and the encouragement to continue the process, I wouldn't have received any benefits. So I'll be forever grateful, and they've gone beyond, above and beyond what would be normal to help us out.
That's Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran from La Crosse County, here with us today to talk about benefits available to Wisconsin veterans and their families. Also joining our conversation is Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veteran Service Officer, and Jose Leon, a veteran from Vernon County. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Shirley, I don't know, it's kind of a personal question, but do you mind sharing some of the different benefit programs that you or your husband utilized?
The biggest one for me right now is I am getting health care on myself, and that's worth a lot of money every month. I recently retired, and I would have had to spend in excess of $800 a month on a monthly premium just, you know, for my health care. And now I'm able to get that through the VA. Unfortunately, when Irv was alive and we could have used, you know, different help for a lot of things because he was disabled, it was before the decision was made, so those services weren't available to us. So the health care is the biggest thing that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm.
You obviously kind of have a unique situation of having this records problem, but what do you think could have been different that might have made your time easier, or do you think that there, you know, are changes that need to be made to the system?
I don't know how they're going to speed up the process. I understand, you know, they can't just give anybody benefits. Irv had a buddy statement from somebody quite a while back, and we still went through several years after that. What I regret is that he did not get the validation before he died that the government recognized that, yes, he really was in Vietnam, even though the records don't reflect that. And so, yes, it's bittersweet. I'm taken care of, and I know that he would be grateful for that, but I wish that he could have heard this personally and that we could have had the help at the time we really, really needed it. But again, I would have given up on this had it not been for the La Crosse office. So I think it's really, really important that these offices are available and these people that are willing to help the vets and the spouses and their families get the benefits that are due them.
Adam, do you think Shirley's situation is unique, or does it happen more often than we might think?
Unfortunately, it does happen more often than we think. Vietnam, unfortunately, happens to be one of those time periods where records weren't kept as well of what every individual ended up doing. Also, unfortunately, there was a fire down at the National Archives that wiped out a time period of some Vietnam-era veterans. So some of the records just aren't available. And so it's a painstaking process in order to just show that the story that you're telling from the veteran's point of view is really true and accurate, and we reach out to different sources. You know, letters that a veteran sent home and it was mailed out of Vietnam, sent to their mother or girlfriend that they happened to hold on to for 40 years, can do win a claim because it's post-stamped out of Vietnam. You know, a buddy statement where, yes, I served along them, this is our experience that we did together, that can do it. But I can't say that will do it every time. Unfortunately, every veteran's experience is unique. And there are some times that the VA comes back and says that could not have happened because we have historical documentation that contradicts what your statement is. And not every veteran is going to win their claim with the VA. To not do it is, I think, in my mind, more detrimental than actually applying and getting denied. But to a veteran, it's opposite. To be denied by the VA for your experience is almost as though they're telling their story and nobody believes them, and then the VA backs that, so other people then have backing saying, well, they couldn't collaborate it. Why should I believe you? So there can be an emotional aspect to it all that, you know, unfortunately we don't have veterans that apply, but like I said, it's not a unique. Every veteran has their own experience and they all have to go through it in a different walk in order to achieve what they are looking for.
And does this represent issues in the VA system, you know, that maybe need to be made to improve access? Or do you think that it's just a challenge of that time period?
It's more of a challenge. I can't say that it's unique to Vietnam either. We have veterans who are deployed to Iraq today who, you know, they're stumbling through the mountains and they get cut. Well, they do a quick patch. Nobody documents that it's been cut, but who knows what that cut might do, bacteria might get in. But without that documented, it's very challenging. And so what kind of policies or changes could be made? It would have to be astronomical. It would be taking pictures of every instance that ever takes place, you know, having somebody thoroughly documenting everything. And I understand on a battlefield, it's not going to happen. In a veteran's life of just going through the service, even if they are deployed or not, it's not going to happen. And to those who are looking to go into the service, my recommendation is you need to take care of yourself. If something happens, make sure it is documented. But to those who got out, I would say, make sure you can start looking for the right documentation. Don't lose touch with those who you served with, because you don't know what's going to make your story collaborated and be the difference for either yourself or, in honesty, for another veteran who's applied. You, as a veteran, might be the buddy statement that wins a veteran's case. So I can't imagine what the VA does. I don't think they can do it. It actually has to start with the Department of Defense.
And Jose, do you mind if I ask you about some of the benefits that you've accessed through veterans programs?
No, not at all. My first initial claim, I filed. I got 10% service-connected disability for each foot, and I got 10% for my knee. Later on, I was having some problems with sleeping and waking up at night, and I didn't notice it, but the person sleeping next to me noticed it. And so I got some help through Adam's office, and we filed a claim, and I was able to get several things, compensation, medication, counseling, which all helped to improve. It was a quality of life change, and it was a life-changing event for us. You know, and then again, to reiterate, Tomah VA, as well as the local VA here in town, provided outstanding services. So I didn't have to suffer with that anymore. I was kind of a young, hard-headed guy who didn't want to admit that I had a problem. You know, most people don't want to, you don't want to be labeled as that guy. But I'm more, can we use the word mature now? And so Adam's office helped me. We went down. We got the services that we needed. And so I'm very grateful for that. I'm eternally grateful for it. And so is my family.
So do you think that there are other veterans out there who might be hard-headed like you say you were?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. I know some friends that, and it's hard for me to say to them, you should go seek assistance, because for many years I didn't, you know, kind of hypocritical. But by the same, you know, in the same breath, I want to say, do it. It's going to change your life. You know, it's going to change your life. So it's one of those things you have to feel out the veteran to see how they might take that type of advice, so to speak.
And it sounds like you largely had a pretty positive experience accessing veteran benefits. Is there anything that you wish would have been different?
I was fortunate. As I said before, one of the things that I appreciated the most about Adam's office is, as I said earlier, the bureaucracy and the forms that you had to fill out. If I'd have taken that journey on my own without the help of the County Veteran Service Officer, I have no doubt that I would not only been as successful, but not as timely. Because once they filled out a bunch of forms for me and I looked at it and said to myself, That's not the way I interpreted that question. I would have answered it differently. So I'm thinking to myself, had I not gotten this help, I may not have been as successful. So to me, I'm grateful the way things went. I wouldn't change a thing. So I'm happy about the outcome.
And Adam, some of this, learning about how to answer questions and kind of navigate through some of these systems, is that something that you think veterans will be able to get from the expo?
Not to the extent that Jose is talking about. Some of them, the questions that will be asked will just be a little bit more superficial in the regards of, are you eligible for this or does it pertain to you? You know, our goal isn't that you get into the VA healthcare that day and you receive medical treatment on the spot, or you know, you work with a service dog and they're able to provide it to you. But what we want people to know is that it's out there, that they could be eligible, and that they should ask the right questions to it, and then as necessary they should make the follow-up to get into it and establish the eligibility if it's there, or to find out if they truly qualify. Our goal is really not to have everything happen all at once on the spot, but more to get everyone the appropriate knowledge so that they're able to really follow up and get that care that they need.
So if there wasn't an expo happening, you know, how do veterans and their family members typically learn about these resources? I mean, you know, is there any sort of information given to them if they come back from being deployed? I mean, how do they typically learn about this stuff?
The Department of Defense has really gone to a point where they highly encourage veterans when they're out to actually stop in our office. Now, when I say that, really it's a veteran service office, not really the county, because out of all 50 states, there's only 32 that carry CVSOs. And so the DOD is trying to make appropriate step, but you can hear it from every veteran that walks through a door that they were hard-headed at the time. They didn't need it. They didn't want it. They wanted to not associate with the military. I myself, when I got out, I just simply said, I don't need anything else. And it took me, I think, even 3 years before I stepped into the office I now work for. And the DOD does the right things to start educating, but it's really up to the individual in that regard.
And I think just the general public has become more aware of a couple of different issues for veterans, such as mental health services and PTSD, and the importance of accessing mental health services for some veterans, and also kind of the growing problem of homelessness for veterans and how that issue can affect them. Has there been kind of an increase in services available for people experiencing some of those issues?
There are. I mean, every day, people are finding new ways to try and reach out to veterans. They're creating new groups. The new push really is to stop suicide. There's group 22, or I forget exactly what it is, but 22 veterans commit suicide per day. And so they're trying to grow this awareness. And you know, before them came Wounded Warrior, and before them were the Legion. And so every day, people are finding new ways to tackle the new problems that veterans are encountering to try and find and give the information that the veterans need in a better timely fashion. You know, and if it weren't for these groups, a lot of veterans wouldn't know that they're out there. If it weren't for word of mouth, a lot of veterans wouldn't know that they're out there. You know, our office, when I look at it, we have absolutely no marketing budget. And yet we can see anywhere between 5 to 30 veterans per day. And why is that? It's because there are the advocates of those who have gone out, received benefits, who push the other veterans through the door, or there are the family members who push the veteran through the door to say, go look, because this does affect not only you, but us. And so it's through those type of things that they come to us. This expo is our first outreach to really try and market, but we're not marketing our office. We're marketing veteran organizations and assistance in the community. And so if it weren't for other veterans, really, I don't know where our office would be, because who knows how they would end up finding us.
And Jose, do you think, do you feel like the kinds of services offered to veterans have been expanded in recent years?
I think so. Another good resource is online. One of the disadvantages of online is that maybe our more senior veterans don't feel comfortable or not familiar, scares them a bit, you know. But our younger folks really can get online. There's a lot that you can do online to find out for benefits. Similar to other online, like Social Security and County Veteran Service Officer and the Federal VA, sometimes there can be too much information online. But if you can streamline your searches and if you're semi-computer savvy, online is really a great way, great resource to be able to get information on what you need.
We've been talking with veteran Jose Leon, Adam Flood, La Crosse County Veteran Service Officer, and Shirley Jacobson, wife of a veteran, about benefits programs for veterans and their family members. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more information on next week's Veterans Expo in La Crosse. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.